This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Good evening, this is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, and we're taking you around the globe, one country at a time. A big thank you to Tia for From 6 at 6, now on at 6:30. That's a mouthful. Plus Richard for the latest local news. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, we have Matt.
It's just the two of us, actually.
Just the two of us. And I'm Ian.
Now, Tunisia is not known at all for its progressive LGBT rights agenda. In fact, they still retain and enforce the age-old sodomy laws, jailing LGBTI people for sexual relations. Enter a white knight, an openly gay human rights lawyer sticking his neck out and running for president of Tunisia. But is he a white knight? Some in the LGBTI community don't think so, and in fact, they are openly campaigning against him.
Mm. Tonight, we bring you both sides of the story. Mounir Bator is the first open gay Tunisian presidential candidate. And we also have a representative of Majuddin Tunisia, one of the LGBTI groups representing a petition against Mounir. And what Mounir thinks of these LGBTI groups campaigning against him left us almost speechless.
As a human rights lawyer and founder and head of the Tunisian LGBTI group Shams, Mounir Bator has been campaigning for change in Tunisia for years. But running for president of the country takes this to a whole new level. We asked Mounir what prompted him to announce his campaign for president in the upcoming Tunisian elections.
I am a lawyer. I am a human rights defender since many years, and minorities defender. I think the problem of minority and individual freedom are not progress enough in Tunisia, and I think I am the person who well positioned to run positive change in Tunisian society.
Mounir, homosexual acts are still criminalised in Tunisia. In fact, you've been jailed before yourself under the sodomy laws. Are there any risks for you in running in this campaign?
Maybe the risk, but the risk is not to be arrested for my homosexuality. I was arrested in the past and I was condemned to 3 months of jail in 2013 for sodomy. But actually, the law does not condemn homosexuality. The law condemns sodomy. The risk is a threat against me and insult and threat of murder by Islamic person in the internet.
So you've received some threats like this?
Yes.
So some religious groups are clearly not happy that you're a candidate solely because you're gay then. Is that right?
Yes, because I'm gay, because I am human rights defender, because I believe in individual freedom. I believe in equality between men and a woman in Netherlands. All my speech is very progressist, and I am calling to reform Islam and to have another vision of my society.
The policies you are putting up seem to be quite progressive, but also I'm guessing they're probably a little bit radical to some people. How can you assure them that, I guess, what they see as Tunisian culture is able to continue and flourish?
Tunisian culture must evolve. And in 1956, President Bourguiba forbidden the polygamy and the repudiation of women, and he allowed abortion and adoption. It was a very hard and strong reform, but actually we consider such a reform as a key. I think Tunisian society is ready to accept other form of reform, as discriminating homosexuality, as equality between men and women. I think a lot of reform must be done in Tunisian society.
Mm. So, as you said, President Bourguiba was quite progressive in what is done. And so despite the threats you've been under, why do you think Tunisia is ready for an openly gay presidential candidate?
I don't believe that the Tunisian people will choose me because I am gay. Why the media doesn't ask other candidate about their sexual orientation? I am president of Liberal Party, political party, and I am human rights defender. I have a program, economic and social and cultural program, and I will propose my program and the campaign to Tunisian people, and they will choose the president about his program, not about his sexual orientation.
I guess there is a group that will be very interested in how you progress, and that is the LGBTI community. They're going to have some expectations on you that there will be law changes to help them, to benefit them. What priority will you give to changes to laws for LGBTI people as opposed to the economic things you will have to do, the infrastructure, all the other things of government?
Actually, it's one of my priorities. The first priority is the economic situation. The economic situation is very sad in Tunisia. There's a lot of jobless, a lot of poor person. And the second priority is to give LGBT community their rights and to discriminate homosexuality, condemn homophobia, and to allow transgender to change their identity by a simple declaration to judge.
You're listening to World Wide Wave. We're talking to the first openly gay presidential candidate in Tunisia, Mounir Bataour. Coming up, you'll find out what Mounir thinks about LGBTI groups who've launched a campaign against his presidential run.
This is Tseke Kasambala from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
Got a five, got suit and tie, got he wear me from 9 to 5. Come on, make me go night-night. Got me so high, I'm seeing tie. Big man, he handle his business. Every day, be like Christmas. First thing on my list is Mr. Feel Good, and I'm the Mr. Feel. Just know I understand the world is in your hands, but all your love, love, love is for me. They're falling at your feet, they chase you down. Hey, Mr. President, I'll be your
To World Wide Wave. That was Kylie Minogue with Mr. President. We had
On Facebook, Hoffler has he's commenting on the unrest in Hong Kong at the moment and asks what this might mean for our LGBTI community. It's an interesting question. It's such a complex and volatile environment at the moment that I don't think there's any special issues for the LGBTI community there at the moment. Everybody's just trying to see where this goes. Of course, if troops come in from China, that could change the ballgame a bit.
Yeah, well, if they just come out of the barracks that are actually there, it's very difficult to see where it's going to go. And also you have this feeling that it's being manipulated, a bit perhaps like our story tonight. We don't know what's really going on behind the scenes and what to believe and what not to believe.
And that's where we are. So we're in Tunisia tonight looking at the presidential campaign.
So campaigning for president of Tunisia, Mounir Bator has named LGBTI law reform as his second highest priority behind economic programs if he wins. Changing the law is one thing. Changing homophobic behaviours is another. We asked Mounir how he would bring non-LGBTI people on his journey of change.
I think when the law will be changed, the mentality will change too. We have to have a political will and political volunteer to change the law, and I think this changement will be accepted by all persons, LGBT or state, will accept this changement.
You mentioned some opposition from Islamic groups and some threats you had, but there's also some opposition within the LGBTI community, and we've seen a petition circulating. What do you say to these LGBTI people who are concerned?
I don't care about them. The person known them, and the accusation that they put in their petition is wrong. And their problem is not me, it's my opinion about normalization with Israel. And I am a man of peace, and I believe that peace has to be done between Palestinian and Israeli.
It can't help your campaign, though, to have people who would perhaps normally be allies for your cause being in opposition.
I don't care about them.
Okay. I guess there's a number of people running. There are big parties involved in the campaign. Can you win? Can you get the numbers to win?
I have to do all what is in my power to convince Tunisian people to vote for me. And I have to convince them that I will do what I promise, and I will run until the end and fight for my chance to be president.
Do you think if you're elected, and even having campaigned as openly gay and human rights defenders, do you think it will have an impact on other countries in the region? The fact
I
that
don't think.
You don't think so?
No.
What about from within Tunisia, if you are not successful, do you think that just the visibility that you are providing for LGBTI people will help make change in Tunisia?
The goal is that also. The goal is to give visibility to the LGBT situation and to impose to other candidates to speak about the subject of homosexuality in Tunisian society, and even I will not be elected, I will do progress in LGBT rights by taking the situation of LGBT community.
It's going to be a very interesting campaign, and we'll be watching from here in Australia. Munir Batua, a candidate for the Tunisian presidential election, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, Matt, I wasn't there, but you seemed a little bit taken aback by his attitudes in that interview. Am I reading it wrong?
We get a bit more of a picture of, I guess, the other side of the story very shortly. I think I was surprised a bit by his comments about the opposition from within the LGBT community. So it's not a single person out there. There's 11 LGBT community groups who have said, we actually don't want him as a presidential candidate. And they're circulating a petition to get numbers behind that. And he said, I don't care. I don't care about them. I thought, you know, if you're in a country like Tunisia and you are the first one to put up your hand to take on this and make yourself a very big target, you would think that the people you're going to fight for in terms of their rights, who don't have many rights at the moment, you would think they would be your most ardent supporters. So there's something there that we're not close enough to find out.
Something happens when people stand for president, I think. We're not sure what goes on in their heads. I was just looking up here some data on what the level of public support is in some of these Arab countries to homosexuality.
Does it have a decimal point in front of it? Is probably the first question.
Or do you mean does it have a
is
second
point
second
zero?
Not in Tunisia. Only 7% of people in Tunisia support homosexual relations, which is about the same number of people that support honor killings in Tunisia.
Wow.
Very low level of support. Slightly the lowest level in the Arab countries is the Palestinian territories. Actually, it's just down at 5%, and the highest level of support in Arab countries, or North African countries, would be in Morocco and Algeria, which are both above 20%. So really quite
different. But 20% is still very low.
I think so, but I've visited both Morocco. I haven't been to Algeria, but I've been to Tunisia a couple of times. And I'm not surprised that the level of homophobia, of opposition to same-sex relations is so low in Tunisia. But how is he going to go anywhere if he can't build this alliance and he's got so much opposition towards him?
You've been there. What's the Israel thing? Because it has been put about in the media, and again, our guest from the other side speaks about this in a minute. What's, in terms of him coming out to try and or supporting a peace deal between Palestine and Israel, why is that such a hot topic?
I would imagine, unless things have rapidly changed from the last time I was in that part of the world, that would be a bit of a slam dunk, that there are very, very hardline attitudes towards Israel from most of the Arab community. We've seen, I guess, in Jordan, I mean, things were different 10, 15 years ago, but not now. So I would think that if he's expressing support for Israel, that's going to be something which is not going to get him wider community support. I mean, it's just how, I think he's one of, you were saying to me just off air before, there's something like 100 candidates, or certainly there are dozens of candidates standing here. And so
it's not a small field.
It's not a small field. So how does someone come up through that field? And I guess you have the...
Well, outing yourself is one way of standing out, I guess.
Yeah, and but you also get odd, let's say, candidates or candidates at the fringes. And what we're trying to dig down here is, maybe we'll hear a bit more from our next interviewee, is this person at the fringe, or are they a realistic candidate? Do they stand a ghost in whatever's chance?
Well, we'll find out shortly when we speak to a representative from Maghdeen, Tunisia, one of the groups petitioning against the first openly gay presidential candidate. You are listening to Worldwide Wave.
Now, that was Robin with the track Honey. And there's a wonderful scene in a movie that I saw at MIFF, at the Melbourne International Film Festival at the weekend, which is a queer LGBTI film. Movie set in Georgia. The movie is called And Then We Dance. And I'm really...
Not Georgia, America, Georgia, Europe?
Georgia, Europe.
Right.
Yeah, Georgia, the ex-Soviet state. With it's a wonderful movie about toxic masculinity and public attitudes. And I think we actually spoke on Worldwide Wave a couple of years ago, and we were saying that in Georgia... LGBTI rights actually are out there. There's discrimination laws, but I think on the ground it's very, very different, which again comes back to what we were talking about tonight. So when that movie comes out, I thoroughly recommend going to see that movie, And Then We Danced.
And there are a series of queer films on as a part of the MIFF program, so miff.com.au. We had a short featured last week.
Yeah.
Another story, actually, I just noticed today, and it regards with regards to Tunisia. So one of the representatives of the LGBTIQ group, SHAMS, which is the one that Munir actually heads up, a non-government organisation, they were the victim of a homophobic attack in Paris today. So very much, even though it's, you know, thousands of kilometres away, they're very much in the media at the moment.
Now, if you were the first openly gay presidential candidate in a country with sodomy laws, you'd think that the LGBTI community would be your biggest ally, but not in Tunisia. A collection of 11 LGBT organisations have launched a petition against Mounir Batour's candidacy. Majoudine Tunisia is one of the groups driving the petition, and we asked Amin, which is not their real name, what was his, what was their position behind the petition?
The petition was written by an independent queer activist at first, and she shared like the petition with us, and we were supportive from the beginning because like there is something that has to be done with the person. Unfortunately, I would say, but because we could maybe have like not okay with some strategic like stuff with the NGO, but.
Sorry, just as a clarification, SHAM is the NGO that Mounir runs.
Yeah, that's it. So when it comes to the person, there is a problem. And when it comes to the person representing or assuming that he is the person to represent the queer community, things have to be said about it. And because we don't only heard about the harassment and towards like minors and sexual harassment, I mean, but we have like even members from other being minors who are like not minors anymore, who have been like harassed by the person. And of course, people like a lot of media are expecting us as Mojuddin or as like a community that signed the petition to give them proof. But how can you like have proof from minors here in Tunisia, a country that criminalized the homosexuality, and people who are not even they haven't even done their coming out to their family or to their like friends or the people they know? So it's very taking a big risk to make them like talk publicly about the harassment cases. And because we are not only the only NGO that signed and not the only members and individuals that signed, means that there is really something going on. And it's not something that we would like probably share in media as a petition, but when it comes to a candidacy to the presidency, I guess it's about conviction, and it's because we're doing a human rights work, so we cannot permit ourselves not to talk about it. And now it's the second occasion that we must do it as human rights activists, not to take part of these, because we don't want to be represented with someone that has done like or harassed queer people from the community. We can't allow ourselves to do that. So this is clear, I guess. And for the media too, they mentioned and they emphasized this, the thing that we are not okay with Mounir Batour working with Israel. And he said somehow that I read it like in an article like 2 days ago, like he responded as if like we are like blaming him to work with Jewish people, which is wrong.
So the issue would be the harassment towards gay people and to minors. And so if we put the person aside, isn't somebody, you know, an openly gay politician raising LGBTIQ profile in Tunisia just by running as a candidate? do you think it can have an impact on perception in Tunisia, of general public perception of the community?
Well, as a representation, probably it would be something new, let's say. But to be that powerful, I don't think so. Because, like, for this election, I guess a lot of, like, I put it like, worthless candidates are, like, putting their candidacy to the election, and there are many. And Munir Batur, probably, or the person as a gay lawyer, is one of 100 candidates, and it's not that powerful, I guess. And when it comes to the media, probably it will have a media buzz about it for 1 week, probably, and then it will disappear. But yeah, if it would be like the candidate that's supported by the community, it would be great for the representation, and we'd be really very happy for that.
That's Amin, that's a pseudonym, but from the group Mawjedin Tunisia, which is one of the groups that have launched this petition against the first openly gay presidential candidate in Tunisia. Visibility versus we don't know all the details. There was some talk about harassment allegations there. We are too far away to be able to know what is right, what is wrong. I do take his point about proving harassment is really hard in countries where it's illegal to be gay.
Yeah, when you still have sodomy laws in place, how could you expect people who might be at risk who've been abused in some form to come forward? So, I mean, that's not a matter of proof, but I think that's a fair argument to make. So, well, where do you think we're left? You know, now you spent a few days going through this, and I could see that this is a complex story, and is there a simple take-home message?
There is no simple message in this one. I think Stefan's question just there at the end about visibility versus, when's the next time an openly gay candidate will come forward? Is this perhaps breaking a barrier and somebody will do it next time? But if it's that whole thing of, well, do we support somebody we may not think is quite the best candidate in order to gain visibility, in order to push issues? One of the things Munir is doing just by running is forcing other candidates to talk about the problems that LGBT people in Tunisia are facing. Or do you wait for the right candidate, the best candidate, the one the golden one?
But if the meme in the public, and you've got, I pulled up that Arab Barometer survey before that said just 7% of Tunisians support same-sex relations. Very, very low, even in the Arab world. If the meme is that LGBT people are bad people, that they are against Allah, that they are paedophiles or they're abusers in some form, and these allegations prove to have some element of truth, then surely this is actually going to set the campaign in Tunisia backwards. It's not going to be a matter of just a little bit forward, a little bit of exposure.
Regardless of whatever allegations, it's hard to see how sexuality can't be a factor in his candidacy. So I know he doesn't want it to be, and I know he doesn't want people to talk about it, but in a country where their rights are so far behind, and culturally there are so many norms that are acted out against LGBTI people, it's hard to see how people couldn't look at him as the gay candidate.
Yeah. And to throw this in at this particular time, I find it difficult to believe that positive or change will come out. It's like throwing a rock into a crowd. It's just causing disruption. It's very difficult. It could be for the better. It could open up a debate, or it could be quite destructive.
We'll keep an eye on things and keep you updated here on World Wide Wave.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hello Melbourne.
And you are listening to the World Wide Wave
on Joy 94.9.
Top.
Rock the Casbah. And when we had Radiothon, when we had Radiothon a few weeks ago, I think you were away, Matt, we played a Algerian version from Rashid Taha, which is in Arabic, of Rock the Casbah. I couldn't find that in the system this time, but go back and find that on YouTube, folks. It is absolutely amazing. I love that song so much. Taking me back to my young days.
And, of course, that links in with Tunisia, where we've been tonight.
On Northern, Africa, yeah.
Northern Africa.
Now, I'm just going to play my fact about Star Wars and the disco theme. Of course, Star Wars was filmed in Tunisia, and look it up on the internet. And those domes that you see in the original Star Wars are being rebuilt or being inspired by Kanye West for homeless people in California at the present time. So many facts you learn on this show. See you next week.
Catch you next week. Well, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.